This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Have you been having some days of discouragement where everything seems dark and gloomy and you're ready to just throw in the towel? Well, in today's message, we're going to receive some encouragement for those kinds of days. Please join us on this mountaintop experience.
God has a powerful word for you today that could change the mood and direction of your life. Let's pray. Almighty God, on the mountain you showed your glory in the dazzling, transfiguring light of your Son. Give us a vision to see beyond the turmoil of our world and to behold the King in all his glory and once again place our trust in him as Lord and Savior. Amen.
Coming with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king.
Our reading for today is the Transfiguration story from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 28. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they'd stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While Peter was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Here ends our reading.
Beautiful Savior, Lord of creation, Son of God and Son.
Have you ever noticed all the great things that seem to happen on mountaintops in the Bible? For instance, after Noah's Ark rested on Mount Ararat, God put a rainbow in the sky and he made a covenant with Noah to promise never to destroy everything in the world ever again, to exercise grace. At Mount Sinai, Moses went up on the mountain and there he received from God not just the Ten Commandments, but also a covenant was made. God said, I will be your God and you will be my people. I want to have a relationship with you. At a mountain that Elijah had climbed when he was on the run from Ahab and Jezebel in the book of Kings, we know that God spoke to Elijah on that mountain in a still small voice after some rather glorious fireworks and assured him that God would be with him in his ministry and was given the strength to carry on. I think of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. There he told the thousands of how God's kingdom was now approaching and this is what life in the kingdom was all about. Some great, great teaching happened there. Today we have what is referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration. Transfiguration is all means basically changing, where Jesus was changed in appearance before his disciples. It's believed that the Mount of Transfiguration was Mount Hermon. I also believe that we could refer to the Mount of Transfiguration as the Mount of Confirmation and Strengthening, because everyone in that little party that climbed that mountain on that day was definitely in need of that. The context in which we find this story is things were coming to a head now. Jesus had been leading his disciples for quite some time up in Galilee. And just a few days before this story that we've read happened, Jesus had announced to his disciples that the cross loomed ahead, that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and rise again. And he also went on to describe for his disciples the hardship that would be involved for those who choose to follow him. It had to have shaken all of them a bit. What have we gotten ourselves into? They must have wondered. What is going to become of us? Is Jesus crazy? He's talking like he's nuts. This isn't what we anticipated. I would imagine that Jesus himself was in need of some confirmation and strength, knowing what lay ahead for him. Well, it's in the midst of that that God made a move to clear things up for everybody, to give some enlightenment on things, to offer a confirmation to all who were in that little party on that mountain. First, he gave them a visual display that really caught their attention. As Jesus was praying, he suddenly was changed. His appearance became dazzling white. His face, his clothing, it must have been blinding. I think of the hymn, Beautiful Savior, whenever I read this story. It must have been a thing of godlike beauty. And then the disciples, as they rubbed their eyes to see if they were seeing things, suddenly noticed two figures approaching Jesus that they had never seen before. And in witnessing this, they came to the realization that this was Moses and Elijah, those Old Testament figures that they had heard about as they were growing up as kids. And they were having a conversation with Jesus and describing a departure that was to take place in Jerusalem. We know that it excited the disciples because Peter was so giddy. He said, Lord, it's good to be here. Let's build some tents and stay up here for a while. And then a cloud of glory enveloped them on that mountain. It says they were terrified because they realized that they were in the presence of God. They knew their stories from the Old Testament, that God's presence was to be found in that cloud. As that cloud surrounded them, and they were trying to feel about for one another, I imagine, they suddenly heard a voice, an audible, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And before they could say anything, suddenly the cloud vanished. There was silence. And they were standing there looking at Jesus. And they had to have been absolutely mystified. They could not fully comprehend what was going on there, other than that they had somehow experienced the presence of God, that this was a sign of some sort for them, that it was something to be held on to as they faced the days ahead with Jesus. It says, in fact, at the end of the story that they kept this incident to themselves until after the cross and resurrection. And later on, Peter would write in a letter to some early Christians, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of Jesus, but we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God when that voice conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on that holy mountain." It did something to them. It must have provided some strengthening, some encouragement, I suppose, even though they couldn't quite fathom what was really going on, I imagine. This experience was given to them and to Jesus as a gift of strength and confirmation for the days ahead. Jesus heard from Moses and Elijah, "You're on the right track. Keep going." The disciples heard, "You were right in saying that he is the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the one from Old Testament scripture you've been waiting for, that Isaiah talked about. This is your beautiful Savior." That day, not only was confirmation given, but orders were given as well and discussed. To Jesus, it was, keep going. As he talked with Moses and Elijah on that mountain, about the departure in Jerusalem. That word departure is the word Exodus out of the Old Testament. That great rescue where God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. Now God was about to do a new Exodus and rescue his people from their slavery to sin, to save them from the consequences of sin, which is death, and lead them to his heavenly home through Jesus Christ. Jesus got his marching orders again as he had that discussion with Moses and Elijah, stay with that plan that God has given you. And in the 51st verse of this same chapter in Luke, it tells us that Jesus then, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, set his face to go up to Jerusalem. He made that intentional turn to go and to suffer and to die for the sins of the world. He followed orders. And because Jesus followed those orders, we are the recipients of God's grace because of it. He went up and he died as a payment for our sins on that cross. He rose again and he purchased a place in heaven for each one of us to give us as a gift as we place our trust in him. I can die peacefully in Christ knowing that I am going to be in heaven with Jesus. I have an elderly member in my congregation that I recently visited, brought communion to. She's a shut-in. And I was somewhat humored to find a note that she had scrawled on a yellow piece of notepad paper and taped to her doorway. It said, "Do not resuscitate." You see, Daphne knows Jesus, and she knows the promise, and she knows her destination, that Christ has prepared a place for her. And when I said to her, Daphne, I kind of like your sign, she said, well, I don't want anybody coming in here and pounding on my chest trying to keep me alive. You see, Daphne knows where she is going because Jesus followed orders and gave his life for her and rose again up in Jerusalem. To the disciples of Jesus, the orders were given, hey, this is Jesus, my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Pay attention, but not only pay attention, but give weight to the words that he is giving you, to the teaching, to the directions for your life. Give him the authority he deserves. Be ready to not only listen, but to trust and obey what he is telling you. Just as a coach tells a team, I suppose, is what's happening here. As they gather around the coach before they go out onto the basketball court, you can hear the coach say sometimes, okay, listen up. This is what we need to do in order to win this game. Or I think of a teacher explaining to children in a classroom as they're about ready to do an assignment. Now, children, listen carefully to my directions. I don't want you to fail at this. Or I think of the babysitters that Julie and I would hire to watch our children when they were young so we could go out for an evening together. And we would stand by the doorway with that babysitter and the two kids, and we'd say to them, she's in charge now. Listen to her. We're going to ask when we come home if you listen to her. She's in charge. I think that's what God was doing with those disciples that day. Now listen to him. Be ready to do what he says to you. I can't help but wonder if perhaps God was really referring back to that earlier conversation a few days earlier when Jesus said to them, I got to go up to Jerusalem and suffer and die. I must go. And God seemed to be saying to the disciples, yes, he really must go. He's not crazy. This is a part of my plan. Just trust him on this one and stay with him. And Jesus also in that conversation talked about what it meant to follow him. He said, to follow me means a willingness to pick up your cross, to stand up for me, even when all the odds are against you, and be willing to even lay down your life for my sake. In that you will find life, eternal life. He said, to follow me is to be willing to not be ashamed or embarrassed about me or cowardly when it's time to speak up for me in this world. To follow me means having your head on straight as to what is really important in life. Living for Jesus, not trying to gain the whole world. For what does it profit a person to gain the whole world and then just lose his life? Could it be that God was saying, listen to him about these things? These are words of life for you, eternal life. Trust him. Obey him. It was a mountaintop. A mountaintop of encouragement and strengthening and in confirmation that took place that day in this great story. I need a story like this, you see, because it's easy, I believe, to get discouraged some days in our walk with Jesus. To get wondering sometimes, what is this all about anyway? Things are looking gloomy. They're looking dark. They're looking dismal. It's looking like Satan is winning the battle. Evil seems to be overcoming good. I don't know if I can keep on with this. Sometimes I feel like just throwing in a towel. We have those moments as disciples. God has provided this story as a mountaintop for you. Some enlightenment for you in the midst of maybe some darkness. He's speaking to you as he spoke to those disciples. He points us to Jesus and he said, this is my son. To look at him is to look at me. This is the chosen one the Old Testament prophets talked about. The fulfillment of my promises. Listen to him. Listen to him. God wants us to listen, to keep listening, to open up those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read them over and over again. And not just read them, but ask questions, study them, pray over them. Put them to work in your life, because Jesus truly does know what makes a life work. You will discover that. Recently, I preached a sermon on You're the Light of the World, Let Your Light Shine, and I talked about Jesus wants us to be a lighthouse where we are, to do kind things to the people around us, to arouse curiosity. And a woman came running into my office yesterday and said to me, "You won't believe what happened." And she told me this beautiful story about she ran into someone in a grocery store that she knew was really in financial need. And she secretly brought groceries for her. And she said it was so exciting to not only see this woman's joy, but to see the wonder of the grocery clerk and the people that were witnessing it. She said, "I got so happy I went home and I made soup for my next door neighbor. I've discovered that Jesus really knew what he's talking about." Well, that's what you can discover for yourself too, if you'll listen to him, if you'll take him at his word and put it to work in your life. He's the Son of God, the chosen one. He has the words of eternal life. Amen. Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. Help us, Lord, to listen to everything he says, trusting and believing that Jesus has the words of eternal life, because he really does. In his name we ask this. Amen.
May the grace of Christ our Savior and the fellowship
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's program has given you encouragement and comfort on your walk with Jesus in this world. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to remember their loved one with a memorial gift. These gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on their birthday or another meaningful occasion. If you would like to make a donation in loving memory of someone special, please send it to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank all of those who support this ministry with their prayers and gifts. You're invited to check out our website, ChristianCrusaders.org, where you will find today's message along with hundreds of other Christian Crusaders broadcasts, a daily devotion, and other Bible study links. You can also sign up to receive a special e-preview of the coming program. So look us up. You'll be thankful you did. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. You may address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, call 277-0924. We're so happy you chose to worship with us this day and pray that you'll join us again next week on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders is in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.